home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
Woo! I'm Rob.
I'm Garrett. I cannot believe we got the music right, or I got the music right.
I know. I wanted to come in singing Sweat and Testify. Sweat and Testify. I thought
there we go.
The beginning of our show. I should start out every show singing one of your songs, because
yes,
then
should.
Everybody listening will see what a fabulous singer you are. That sounded better in my head.
I like the idea. But I do think that, you know, you should open every show that we do and be singing one of my songs. We can just have it be like a round robin, and we can pick one and just kind of go through the whole album.
Okay. Well, two. You have two. And more coming, right?
Yeah, more. Yeah.
More.
We have got a great show tonight. In our first segment tonight, we're going to be welcoming TLC's Luke Loy to the program. They're out of the East Coast. I'm so excited to have Luke on the show with us, and this is our first chance to visit with him. And so Rob and I are going to be talking to him and grilling him about all the things that go on behind the scenes with reality TV. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some LGBT issues, including Rob's brand new article that focuses on family sometimes that we wish we might not have.
Right.
But in this case, Miss World 2015's ill-informed brother. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more. Rob, anything else you want to chit-chat about before we bring on Luke and start finding out all the cool things happening that, you know, we never knew about?
Not before Luke. We'll bring up some things in the latter half. But no, I want to talk reality TV and find out the real
cool
scoop.
The real scoop. So I always say, without further ado, you know, because Luke, I could have asked you for like a whole bio and stuff, but we always like it when you just tell us about yourself. So I say, without further ado, Luke Loy, welcome to the show, Luke.
Well, thank you both for having me.
So
great having you on the show.
We know that you are this, you know, kind of a celebrity after being on Gypsy Sisters, and I want to know all about that. But before we get to the reality TV and the celebrity of who you are now, tell us who you are before all of this happened.
Okay. Basically, I'm Luke Loy. I live in, actually, Martinsburg, West Virginia. I was born and raised pretty much here. I've been a hairdresser, about 30 years now. It's done me well. I'm very successful. I've always been successful. I'm one of these people, when I set goals and I set them high. Once I reach those goals, I set higher goals for myself. But I always say I never go on a journey alone. You know, I always take many people with me, because if you ever go on a journey alone by yourself, you'll never be successful because you're only doing it for yourself. But if you're including other people in your journey, you will always be successful. I was married at one time, had four children.
Wow.
At 24, I got married at 17. At 24, I told my family I was gay. My family
did you have the
accepting of
by
it.
That time?
I did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
did.
You didn't stop.
I didn't stop. No. My one daughter, she's 30. Well, I should be 31 this year. I got married at 17. I had four kids till I was 21. I have twin daughters that'll be 30 this year, and my son will be 28.
Wow.
That's one thing I can tell is when you have kids, you can't hide your age around them. They kind of tell on you.
Yes, they sure do. Well, like I said, you know, I'm very close to all my children, you know, and all my family. Family to me is very important to me. And I kind of understand what you're all going to be talking about later, as far as family, we can't pick and choose our family. But to me, family can be anybody. It doesn't have to be blood. You know, my family is extremely large. You know, as far as not just blood relatives, it's everybody I'm in contact with, you know, are just part of my family. You know, I truly love everybody. You know, where many people's not that way.
How was it for your kids growing up? You've touched a nerve with me because I have two 13-year-old sons that, you know, and they're adopted. So they knew their dad was gay before they knew anything. And your kids, they had to have known very, very young. How have they felt growing up?
Actually, they knew no different. You know, they were all very young. You know, I was 17 when I got married. I think my oldest daughter was 3 or 4 at that time. And they knew, you know, they knew no different because at a young age, their mother made them very aware that, you know, her father was gay. And it was difficult. My ex-wife kept my kids from me for 14 years, even though we had joint custody. But I knew I had to do the right thing and step back because she was making it harder on them. And so I stayed back for 14 years instead of having the constant battle and constant fight, which was totally unnecessary, you know, to the children. And it was a long 14 years. But my oldest daughter, you know, she would have friends sneak her down. I did a benefit show actually one time to help raise money for local people in the two counties for AIDS. I've never done drag in my life. I did a drag show, and there was over 500 people there. I knew I could bring the people in. And, you know, and of course my brother had a hard time with that, me doing that. I've never done it in my life. But it's all about me putting a hair, makeup, wig, whatever. I don't care. If I can change someone's day or life by me doing that for one night, a few hours, I can take off the makeup, the hair, eyelashes, but whatever they have, they can't. Right. So you have to give in order to get back. But my daughter, one time, she had came to my house when she was probably 15, and her mom had bought her, it was a prom gown. And I thought, oh, is it nice? Oh, she just got it at the local store. I'm like, oh, well, she wore a gown that I wore in the drag show. How many daughters can say they wore their dad's gown?
That's
and her
right.
Mother just, you know, my daughter still, you know, we finally told my wife, you know, but she had told her mother, you know, mother asked, where did you get this gown? She thought, my friend Courtney, that I had no drag names, I'd never done it before. So the guys that had done drag all their life, you know, they were like, oh, what's your drag name, girl? I'm like, I'm Luke, you know, I got a wig on, that's it, which I have a few other words in there. And so they came up with the name Courtney Styles because I do hair styles. I'm like, yeah, that'll work. So my daughter told my ex-wife that she borrowed it from her girlfriend, Courtney Styles, which was her dad.
That is great.
But, no, my kids are very – I've taken my kids to gay bars with me. You know, my family, you know, any benefit that I've done or have done in the past, you know, I've got a very supportive family and my kids as well, very accepting, you know. But I don't push it down their throat,
right.
You know. You know, I'm just a man that happens to want to love another man. Yeah,
so
it doesn't mean that it's...
Did you do more drag after that, or was that like a one-time shot?
Well, I did it for the AIDS Network here locally. I did 2 benefit shows for them. Then I did another show for a married couple that I knew. He had esophagus cancer. And I knew I could make money doing it because I've always been very well-known in the area. And so I raised a lot of money for him to help save his home. You know, that to me is what life's about, is changing life, not changing your life. What can I do to change your life? You know,
right.
And where many people are very selfish. Not only, I'm not just saying the gay community, you know, I'm talking about everyone. A lot of people are very selfish, you know, when they just only think about themselves, not others.
Right. Go ahead,
yeah.
Jared.
So how did you get into this community of serving others? Or, I mean, when I say that community of serving others, I mean, from yourself. I mean, because it's wonderful that you do this, but did you wake up this way or did you have a moment where somebody helped you and it changed your life? Where did you get this decision that you wanted to be of service all the time?
Well, actually, probably from my childhood. My dad was very abusive. He wasn't a drunk. He wasn't on drugs. He was very abusive to me, my brother, and my mom. Not sexually abusive, but just very abusive. And I swore I would never be like him, and nor would I act like him or treat my children or people the way he did. And I've been this way all my life. You know, I'm always on the outlook, what can I do for others, you know. And that's that. And with my job every day, that's what it's about. how can I change their life? You know, when people come to me to get their hair done, it's not about me, what I'm going through at that moment. It's what they're going through. You know, where many hairdressers, you know, when you go to them, you hear about who they went out last week, what they did last night, how much they drank. You know, when people come to me, it's about them. It's not about me.
Right.
You know, I've been very blessed over the years with great clients. I just had a client give me a card 2 weeks ago as a gift.
That's nice.
Doing services. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever gotten a card from a client.
I pretty much know
it's
that
a woman,
I never
so
have.
It's not a gay man that gave me a card, so it wasn't like that.
Right.
But actually, I got another client, you know, this next weekend. She's 69 years old, and she's actually going to Ocean City. Her health is not well, and I always have a good time with her when she comes in. At one time in my life, I was a male dancer for women, stripper.
Rob, did you know Luke is going to be this fascinating?
I know. I'm just,
So, you know, she's 69 years old, and, you know, she came in about 3 weeks ago, and she's like, we need to talk. I'm like, sure. I was like, what's up? She said, well, I had a dream about you last night. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, she had a more like a fantasy. Hers, not mine.
Right.
But I was okay with it, you know. And so, actually, we're going to the beach next weekend. They want me to go to the beach with them. And her health's not well. She'll get up on the stage at 69 years old, and she'll sing a song and dance. And I told her that I was going to get up there and dance with her. You know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. So Rob, here's the big elephant in the room. Luke, where did you learn to stripper dance?
Actually, you know, I don't know. I've always done it. Even as young, I used to teach classes. You know, I used to teach women how to dance for their partners, their husbands, you know.
Really?
And I have no idea. You know, in the past, well, put it to you this way. 6 years ago, I have it's called lumbar disc degenerative disease. We all have it as we age, but I've had it since I was young. And 6 years ago, I was 100% paralyzed from the waist down, lost bladder and bowel. And the doctor said, this is it. You'll never walk again. And they said, we told you this day is going to come. And I'm like, I'm going to walk again. I was down totally 100% for 3 months, and I walked. Urinating, you know, and everything, all, you know, everywhere was a mess. But I did all my own therapy, no pain pills, no drugs, and walking.
How do you do that?
Well, after I started getting the feeling back, I just started doing my own therapy, and most of my therapy was like belly dancing. Because the key of, you know, with your back, you have to keep your core of your stomach, muscles, and that's what supports your spine. I've known that, what I did, and that's how I got most of it by belly dancer, almost like strip dancing. Yeah, and then
okay,
2 years ago,
I'm sitting straighter in my chair right now. You're making my back hurt.
I know. I'm leaning over a mic, so it's like I'm kind of going, this is probably not a good idea.
And 2 years ago, I was paralyzed in my left leg. I lost everything in my left leg through my hip down. I never even went to the hospital or did anything because I knew they would not do anything. There's nothing they can do. And I was determined. And it was almost 3 months to the day again. I'm back to walking again.
Wow.
You know, so no matter what people or doctors may tell you, you know, nobody has a stamp on their ass when they're going to go out of this world. Nobody has a stamp saying this is permanent. Nothing's permanent. You know?
That is the truth, I tell you. Absolutely. So,
yeah, it's
Luke,
all an outlook of your life.
How did you go from all these different fascinating things that you've done to reality TV? How did that leap happen?
Well, actually, I was been friends of the family since I was 15 years old. So I've been part of that gypsy family, you know, since I was 15. And when they first moved here, I was working across the street where they lived, which would be the girls that I was on the show with. It was their great grandmother, and or no, grandmother. And everybody, when she moved in the neighborhood, because she was a gypsy, they automatically you know, assume that they were bad people, you know, and at 15, I still treated her just like everybody else. And so the whole family has always respected me as I've respected them. The family has been good to me over the years, you know, as far as business goes. Then when they were doing the show, Kayla talked to the producers and said, you know, we have a friend in the family, does hair. He's great. You'll love him. So I had to do a Skype interview with one of the producers of the show. And she's like, oh, my God, we love you. I'm like, okay. And that kind of got the ball rolling. And they were very good to me. The cast was good, of course. I knew them all. The producers of the show was incredible. You know, I smoke cigarettes. That's the only bad habit I have. And if I laid my cigarettes down or my drink down, they were like, I was like, where's my Coke? You know, oh, go get like 12-pack of Coke. No, I just want one. No, get them 12-pack, you know. They were very good to me. They catered to me, you know. And I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And I'm just very happy that I had that opportunity because it has gotten my name. You know, I'm internationally known now in a good way and in a great way. And I'm using what your celebrity status, it can only last that long. But it's up to you what you do with it.
Right.
You know, you can either let it drop or continue on. I'll choose to continue on. That way I can help other people with my status. Does that make sense?
Totally does. I am fascinated with somewhat with the genre of it. What, how is it done that you're operating in that environment and it's, you know, made to be like just going on, but you've got cameras, you've got, you know, all this stuff around you. How does that naturalism happen?
Well, before we taped or filmed anytime, we was not allowed to talk. You know, the cast members, any of us that was on the show, we wasn't allowed to talk off camera. They wanted us to talk on camera. Nothing was script. I mean, nothing was script. Everybody said, oh, it's, you know, the script. Nothing script. You know, I was totally baffled because I didn't, you know, I've never done this before. You know, what can I say? What can I say? Whatever you want. You know, what if it's the wrong thing? It can never be the wrong thing, you know. So, basically,
Did they give you any, like, scenarios? In this scene, we want you to talk about, you know, the hair that, you know, Luke is doing for you or stuff like that.
No, it wasn't really staged out. They would say, well, today we're doing the hair scene. You know, you're doing their hair. And that's all. We would never really know until the day of where we was going to be filming at. You know, that way we couldn't talk about it. So what happened, you seen on TV, it was reality. It was real.
Wow.
You know, we knew that, you know, that morning. We didn't know. I got in a call. Most of the producers, a lot of them are in California. Our main producer is in London. And, you know, one day I was working at the shop and I got a call and they're like, hey, Luke, you know, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing great. Well, you ready to film? I'm like, sure. What, in a couple of weeks? Nope, we'll be there tomorrow morning. Okay, let's do it.
Wow.
Well,
you never know, you know, when it's going to happen or where it's going to be until actually you're in that area, you know. But I told the producers from the beginning I would never be anything else but me. You know, like I said, I'm openly gay, you know, but I'm not flamboyant about it. You know, I'm not a flamer, but I would not go on TV and act like I was something I wasn't. And one day I was filming actually in my shop doing their hair. I had five cameras on us, and one producer stopped the cameras. He was gay. He says, now, Luke, he said, we really want you to gay it up. I just kind of looked at him. I said, this is gay as I get. I don't know how to be any gayer. I can't be nothing any more than what I am, and I wouldn't do it. You know, I would not go on TV and project something that I wasn't.
Right.
You know.
But well,
that's, you know,
yeah, that's the kind of thing I was asking about, though, whether, you know, it's interesting that they tried to push you to be more cliche than,
right,
you know, just being yourself. That's a little bit disturbing. What?
Yeah, I mean, it was only that one time, and after that, they never done it again. It was just that one producer. Actually, yeah, it was just that one.
How do you feel reality TV has affected our culture? I mean, we've got, you know, a major politician now who basically has become well known through reality TV.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that. You know, when I watch him on TV, I still feel like he's on. He still feels, or he's still acting as if he's on reality TV. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But it's a little scary, you know, in many ways. You know, I'm not really into the politics a lot, something I don't discuss with a lot of people, you know, because everybody has a different opinion about politics and, you know, and their views, you know, so, but yeah, I think it's just, when I watch him, you know, politically, it's like he's still on reality TV, you know.
Actually, it's funny you say that, because I just tweeted out, people were tweeting about Sarah Palin getting a Judge Judy-like show, and I took one of the tweets and I tweeted out on top of it and said, you know, Donald Trump is preparing a reality TV show in which he plays a world leader, and people went nuts for that tweet. So I think a lot of people are observing what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't like how he belittles people. I don't like a lot of his opinions, but it's his opinion. I don't have to agree with it. You know, I've seen him, how he puts handicapped people down, you know, Hispanic people, gay people, you know, and when you're going to be a president, you know, you should love everybody. You know, actually, I posted one day, I should be the first gay president. I would run, you know, and, you know, and I would. I wouldn't have a problem with it, you know, and what I get, maybe, maybe not. You know, but I would have just as much chance as Donald Trump does as I do. He just has more money than me, though.
Too wild. So what was the most fun thing about the reality TV show, about doing that?
It was exciting. I mean, there was times I got nervous. I have anxiety attacks or panic attacks. And I've had them, since I was probably 24. You know, and a lot of people could not believe that I was able to do it because, you know, you're under a lot of stress, you know, and you got 25, 30 people, you know, getting you ready, you know, or setting everything up. It can be very chaotic, but probably the best experience I had, I went to the producers and I told them that I wanted to take the girls to a gay bar to show our support to our gay community and show, you know, they're okay with people being gay. And the producer's like, hey, this is great. Let's do it. And so I concluded our local gay bar here, and we filmed there. And it was on, you know, international TV, you know.
Wow.
You know, they were very acceptant to it, you know, of the idea, not like, oh, we shouldn't do that. Our ratings will go down because now, you know, this is gay, you know. But no, they were very, like I said, the producers were very accepting to most things.
But, what would be one thing that you would have liked to have done on this series that you did not get a chance to do?
Probably reach out to more people in a different way. You know, have one good episode where it was more positive, not so much drama. You know, have a little bit of drama. Because, you know, people love drama, but have it to where it wasn't as much drama, or like, even if it was just one episode, to where it was more, I'm not saying real, but not as much drama as there was at times, because I mean, at times it was overwhelming drama, and but that's why people watched it. It's a crazy amount of fans that you get, you know, and that I have all over the world. Yeah, because you know, they tune in just to watch, you know, the drama and the girls. They're beautiful. They're all sweet. You know, but what they were on TV is what they are in real life. You know, so I would probably say something, you know, on the lines of being, you know, have one show that was a little bit more positive. Not saying they were all. I'm not saying they were negative. I'm not saying that. Just a little bit differently, maybe done.
Right. Did you feel like the people were just like you were asked to kind of ratchet up qualities that weren't necessarily even yours, but that they were trying to impose on you? Did you think people were ratcheting up their dramatic reactions with each other because they were aware that it was on TV? Or if they had played it out without cameras, would it have gone as dramatic as it did?
You know, I'm not really, it's kind of hard to say. I really don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't ever remember seeing, you know, the producers or anything, you know, to kind of like stab them or, you know, or whatever, you know, force them to do anything or say anything or anything like that. You know, I've never remembered them doing that at all. You know, like I said, that one, like I said, that only one producer had, you know, spoken, you know, hey, gay it up. That was the only time he ever said, and I just said, I can't do that. I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know, but pretty much what you've seen is pretty much how all the girls are, you know, and, you know, they're good people, you know, just because people are gypsies doesn't mean they're bad people. Just like black people, they're not bad people. Gay people are not bad people. But unfortunately, you know, gypsies, they get a bad rap because, you know, their family history and things that, you know, from that. But you can't judge what people did in the past on them, what they are today. Just same with gays, years ago, what they are today.
Right. Well, and we have shows like, you know, the Caitlyn Jenner show. I hate. I was going to ask you if that was the right format to address a social issue like that. Why don't we? What are your feelings around that show?
My feelings about that show. I don't think she's someone good to represent at the transgender people. That's just my opinion. The way she's presenting herself, I mean, she don't believe in gay marriages or gay rights, but she wants us to accept her for who she is, but yet she doesn't want to accept, you know, gay rights and gay marriages and all that. That's kind of what kind of confuses me. You know, with her, you know,
right.
She's beautiful, you know, and I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not disrespecting her in any way, but, you know, if you want people to accept you for who you are now, then you have to understand gay people has rights just like you do, you know, and she's, like I said, totally against gay marriages and all that, and she feels she still wants to be with a man. That confuses the hell out of me, and stay a man, you know, if you still want to be with a woman, you know, she still wants to be with a woman. I'm confusing myself, you know. So, but.
Well, I think actually the latest is that she's going to go out with a man. But, you know,
yes.
I'm not, you know.
So, yeah, I think a lot of it was done just to, well, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, is she going to stay this way? Maybe, maybe not, you know. We don't know.
So, What do you think, from your professional beauty opinion, how do you like the style and the aesthetics of what she's doing?
She carries herself well. The way she dresses, she's very respectful. You know, she needs to change her voice a little bit. If she wants to look like a woman, try to at least talk like one. you know, I think that, you know, the way she looks, she's beautiful. You know, but she could, you know. Of course, I'm a makeup artist, so I could probably make her look a lot different. I can make anybody look different, you know. So, yeah, I think she carries herself well and looks very nice, you know. It's nothing I don't think many of us were not surprised about, but we wasn't expecting that surprise.
Yeah, no, that was pretty wild. What are your upcoming projects? What are you working on now?
I'm working on a book. I do a lot of inspirational quotes that I write actually on Facebook, and actually they're writing an inspirational book, and it's going to be all the quotes that I write on Facebook. They're going to put them in book format, and so that'll be coming out hopefully by the end of this year. Let's see what else. Think what else I got going on. Right now it's pretty quiet, actually. I don't think I have anything else right now. I know I got the book coming up. I'm working with the producers of the Gypsy Sister show. They're coming out with another Gypsy Sister show. I'm working with the producers of that show to get them another family, I guess it would be, you would say. So that hopefully will be coming out this year. Will I be a part of it? Don't know. Maybe. I will be. Don't know. We'll see.
So they're switching the whole family out on the new show?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they chose to go that way, or?
I'm not really too sure. I'm not really too sure, you know, what the reasoning was, you know, why the show was canceled, or the show was on for 4 years. I was on it for 2.5 out of the 4 years. And, but, you know.
Well, you had a nice run with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, and I wasn't on a whole lot of episodes, but the ones I was on, you know, it's like I said, it's just crazy. I had a guy in Germany. Just had my name tattooed to his calf of his leg. And he had all the cast members and had mine. He called and told me he was going to do this, you know, through Facebook. And so when he had the tattoo done, I called him through Facebook as he was getting the tattoo done with my name on him. And I talked to him while he was getting it done. I reached out to all my fans. I talked to all my fans, you know. Sometimes it can be overwhelming because I got fans in Malaysia, you know, and I had a lady from Malaysia send me a package that took almost 4 weeks to get here. And it was just different things from Malaysia. You know, I just had a lady sent me from Chicago Bears shirt. I just had another lady send something here. She's from Illinois, though. She was, you know, but I reach out to all my fans. You know, I reach out to them. I surprise them and call them on the phone. Actually, there's... a girl that lives in actually California, Hollywood, she was a big fan of the show, and one night I randomly called her through Facebook, and she thought Peter Pan. So I surprised her again. I called her job one day. I went on her Facebook, found out where she worked at, and called her job. And she screenshot the caller ID because it said Luke Lloyd, had my phone number. She screenshot it and posted on Facebook, "Oh, my God, I just got a call from Luke," you know. I reach out to everybody because I care about everybody. Because without the fans, we would have never had a show.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
And Rob, our time with Luke is, we promised him we wouldn't keep him past the half hour, and we're now past that. So Luke, just to be respectful of your time, because we're going to totally have you back. So when your book is out, or when you get about a month to 6 weeks before the book is out, I need you to reach back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Put you back on. But do you have any last words of wisdom we can ask you to share with your fans that are tuning in tonight? And then we're going to let you get back, because I know it's super late back where you're at.
Yeah, that's quite our. Well, like I said, I just want to thank all the fans for being the fans, because without the fans, you know, we would have never been a show. And then hopefully maybe this year or next year we might be back on the screen again.
Well, we need more of you on the TV.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes. Well, right, I appreciate you both having me on the show.
Thank you, Luke. It's been a pleasure to talk with you here. I'm glad to call you a friend.
Yeah, same here. Same here. You'll have a great evening.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate you so much. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more information about Rob's new scathing article that he wrote today about the Miss Universe? I wrote it down. The Miss World competition in 2015 and her terrible family. This is a little break just for you.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of The Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
So we're back. Rob, what a cool guy Luke is. I had no idea about his backstory.
All he's done. I mean, I'm really looking forward to his book because, I mean, stories that must be going in there. Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the things that I like about you know, well, I could say be prepared. You know, when I've got a publicist sending me like 400, you know, bios and press releases and the music for the Friday night dance party and all that kind of stuff, I do read it and I do go through the motions and all of that. So I know that all the publicists who are listening out, they're screaming, saying, "You can't say that." But I really love it when I get guests that come on the show that I'm just like, I don't know who you are. Let's talk. Let's hear about your story. That to me is amazing versus I get the whole bullet points ahead of time.
How they make them not talk, you know, before they go on the set for the reality TV show. And it reminded me of like you and I, when we have these conversations and we have this thing where we kind of go, okay, we can't talk about it anymore because we're, you know, we have to talk about it on the air. It's like, we're going to live on the air, you know, so interesting.
Well, I do like that, you know, because there are a lot of times that, you know, for everybody who's listening, Rob and I will try to get on the show about 5 or 6 minutes before just to go like, hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Do I sound good? Do I sound good enough? Well, so we do a lot of that before the show. But, you know, of course, we're excited to talk to each other and we'll have things that we want to share because we don't talk before the show because, you know, Rob has a J-O-B and I do other stuff. So, you know, we have enough time to say, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Right before the show. And then that's it. But we want to burst into the, I got news to share. And it's like, don't say it now. Save it for the show. So it's, you know, so it's fresh.
So our reactions are real, everybody.
Are real.
Real deal.
Well, you know, isn't it? Don't you just hate when you watch newscasts and you know it's the same? You know, it's the same news story or the same banter that they've had for the last 3 hours. Ho, 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 Rob, that's just witty. You know, and you just want to vomit when you hear it.
Yeah.
So I much prefer, you know, just not knowing what's going to be happening and then run with that. So Luke is cool. I like him. I'm glad that we've had him on the show. So now we have a new friend in West Virginia.
I know I didn't want to say anything at the time because, you know, he was talking about his client who had a dream about him and it was all romantic and all that. I just had a very strange dream last night that was very similar and you'll never guess who, and I was, no, actually she was coming on to me, but you'll never guess who it was. It was coming on to me in my dream.
Madonna.
Sarah Palin.
Wow,
Sarah
we need
Palin
to get you on the therapy couch now.
Was naked and trying to get me drunk.
Well,
where that came from, I don't know.
I don't know either, Rob. Rob, what's going on in your world?
Oh my God. Well, let's see. So, not Sarah Palin, but actually, I've been quite busy today. Before we came on the air, I was out being Mr. Twitter activist. This is apart from the blog that I just launched. In North Carolina today, they passed, it's a little bit complicated. Charlotte had passed an anti-discrimination bill. And their bill protected transgender people in using the restroom that transgender person feels the most comfortable using. And the state legislature in North Carolina decided that they were going to usurp or they were going to roll back Charlotte's law and they were going to prohibit any pro-LGBT laws or protection across the state. So they, by this, their movement made it illegal for transgender people to use any other restroom other than the one that lines up with their, what they were determined to be at birth, which is ridiculous. So a couple things have been happening. Several transgender people who look as like their true identities as you could, bearded men and beautiful women and everything else, have been putting pictures saying, you know, look at this is what you're going to have using the men's room, or this is, you know, ladies, this is who you're going to have in the women's room with you, because quite frankly, some of these guys are burlier and more macho than I even hoped to be, and they are now forced to use women's rooms. So one of the things I did in my kind of activist stance is I threw out a challenge to North Carolina and said, you know, tomorrow, if you're against this law, I hope you use the opposite bathroom to the one you're normally comfortable in. So if you're a cisgendered man, use the women's room. If you're a cisgendered woman, use the men's room. You know, and let's mix it up and show the legislature back there that they're being ridiculous. So we'll see if anybody actually does it. But that was going like hotcakes off Twitter.
You know, and it's funny that you bring this up because I was listening to a show on SiriusXM. I think it was, I don't even know what show it was. I think it was Just Jenny or Just Jen or something like that. And her co-host were talking about the North Carolina nonsense that's going on there. And lo and behold, they got a caller, you know, and you just have to go. You know, because anytime, because we live in very progressive areas. And so for that, I'm very grateful. But anytime you get somebody who calls in, you do realize when I tell you the story that there are really real legitimate people out there who do think the most insane things and they right. believe it with all their heart. And so for that, I applaud them, but I will tell you, oh my gosh, I'm just like, this is just not what it's supposed to be. So the guy calls up and he says, you know, I just, you know, I don't want some guy showing his ding-a-ling, you know, so I'm the farthest person from ever using technical terminology like penis and vagina. Those words just creep me out. So I'm the person that's always going to say dick. Okay. But
right.
You know, when you've got this guy, well, I don't want my daughter, you know, seeing somebody's ding-a-ling whipped out at the urinal in the women's restroom. I don't know how many women's restrooms that have urinals, but I guess that. So, you know,
okay, that is really funny. That I like
started there, and then the hosts were like, "Oh my gosh, you just don't even understand this issue." And he's like, "Well, I just don't want my daughter seeing some naked man, you know, just you know, whipping it out." And the I don't know what kind of restroom he ever goes to, but I'm going to tell you, any restroom I've ever gone to, no man ever has been, let me just whip it out right here at the sink, or
right.
let me whip it out of
right.
the trash can, or let me. It's like, no, that's never done. So I don't know. He must live in a very special place because the host did follow up and say, have you ever gone to a sporting event where you've had maybe a little too much to drink and then you had to go take a whiz out behind the car because, you know, that's just what everybody did. And he goes, well, of course. What's the difference from having your five-year-old, you know, daughter accidentally see something, you know, like that when you're out peeing behind the Chevy at the ball game versus, you know, going and using a restroom and never having that ever happen? Well, now you're just, you know, you're making stuff up. And now that's just like a one-time circumstance. It's like, well, wouldn't it be a one-time circumstance if that transgender person actually is using the restroom that belongs to them? And then, by the way, that scene that you've depicted is never going to happen anyway. But, you know, the craziest call. And then, of course, the only thing he could say was, well, I know you got to say what you got to say, but you're an idiot. And then he hung up the phone. So, you know, you just feel like, oh. But so you can't, and they were being really patient and really nice. And Rob, you know me, I have no patience for that type of stuff. I don't suffer fools easily. I may be a fool, but I don't suffer other fools easily.
No.
And listening to this guy, I just was like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for that community when, because you know, he's not the only one. It's probably him and all of his, you know, his spittoon chewing, you know,
no,
community
it's, yeah, the
that
level.
He's hanging out with.
But even people who are not, I mean, I'm still laughing about, you know, some man whipping out his urinal in the women's room or his penis
right.
in the urinal. It's like, okay,
so he's got really
little reality check
know.
There, buddy. But I, even on Facebook, I had somebody come back and say, you know, well, I hear you, but I have a little concern about my 7-year-old daughter going to the restroom. You know, next to a man. Well, first of all, they're going in a stall.
Stall.
So it's like, it's, you know, almost like a little mini room away. But
right.
I wanted to go, hey, I've had 7-year-old boys that are at urinals next to strange men in restrooms.
Right.
And, you know, it just is this reality check of what it is all about that is
yeah.
just out there. And, you know, it's just, it's totally unfair. So I've been mouthing off on Twitter, and people have been retweeting that stuff a lot. I did launch this other, shifting gears.
I don't want to shift gears yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go back to the restroom.
Let's have more bathroom talk here on Rated LGBT Radio. So, okay, I heard this, and I don't know if it's true. So, of course, it's like I read it on the internet, so it must be true. But it sounded too logical to not be true. So if anybody really knows the definition of this where I don't have to go and Google it, would you please call in or email Rob or I? But I had heard that before, like, the 1920s, when it used to be just like a male workforce, and then, of course, with the wars that came around, we needed women in the workforce, there used to be just a bathroom. And then because when you had both men and women that, were sharing the same bathroom, that apparently wasn't even an issue at that point. But then because of the, as the number of workforce increased and that type of thing, to get people to come back on time from their lunch or breaks, they ended up segregating the bathroom. So you had a men's room and a women's room, not because there was any issues. It was because it was from a time management and a workforce management standpoint. And once that became kind of like the norm, that's when everybody gets freaked out about a men's room and a women's room. Now, I don't really have a problem. I mean, because again, if I have to, number one, I never want to go in public ever. But if I had to go, I'm there to go to the bathroom, do it quickly, and then get out, wash my hands and get out and not make a big production out of this. So I don't really care who else is, doing whatever. And, if you're going to be creepy and a perv, you're going to be a creepy and a perv anywhere. But how many creepy pervy people are out there? I don't think that many, and I don't want to know you if you are, but I don't think there's that many creepy people. So why this is just such an issue for these people who are so terrified to even have to use the restroom in the first place as a transgendered person. It's not like the transgendered people are getting together and saying, let's go down to Applebee's tonight and let's everybody just go hang out in the bathroom. That's the last thing that anybody wants to do.
Well, and the point that is being made very graphically, if you go on Twitter or Facebook, is that, if you want to have it look odd, if you have to have this gender sorting for people to use the restroom, which in itself is kind of silly. I mean, on Ally McBeal, they had, a restroom where everybody in the office used together.
Right.
And, and it was like, after one episode, that was just so normal. I mean, you just kind of clicked right into that. But, if you have to have gender sorting so that you can, go to the restroom, the thing that's going to look odd is this bearded, handsome guy in the middle of a woman's room.
Right.
It's just so invasive. I mean, because then it's like, okay, why are you here? Da, da, da. Well, because I was born this way. And, it's just like, why? When I go to the restroom, I'm just like you, in, out. I don't want to.
There making friends. You're not making eye contact.
No.
You're not doing anything.
They're smelly, awful places. Get in and out and whatever.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to do as I'm in that restroom is have somebody else in that room thinking about my genitals.
Do not talk to me. Yeah. Do not talk to me. Don't acknowledge me. Don't do anything. And that's the way, so whatever you are, just go do your business, mind your own business, and everything will be just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I do have one story on that I've told before, not on our show. But when my oldest son was a baby, because this is the other thing, in women's rooms, they usually have a changing station. And
right.
they almost never do in men's room, which is
ever.
Really a problem for dads who are caring for their kids. So we would often, my ex-partner, then my partner and I, where if we had our baby with us and he had to go, we would kind of, check whoever was in the women's room, make sure it was okay that we were in there, which they mostly were, by the way, and we would go in and change our baby in the women's room. And he did this a little more than I did. Well, there was one day we were at the airport and I had the baby and he went off to use the restroom and he came back and he was beat red. And I was like, what's going on? And he goes, I was in the restroom doing my business in the stall. And all of a sudden I heard women's voices. And I suddenly realized that just out of habit, I had gone into the women's room and was using the stall, and I'm sitting there going, oh crap, I don't have the baby.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So anyway,
In the grand scheme of things, what did it do? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing except make him aware that he was suddenly unconsciously using women's room. So yeah. But anyway, so can we move out of the bathroom yet? So I'm going to go ahead and take that as a yes. I wrote a blog today, and it is on evolequals.com. And the subject of it is Miss World, and who is by definition named probably the most beautiful woman in the world. And as it turns out, one of her fans was kind of going after her, not going after, but looking up websites and all that stuff. And he happened upon a gentleman who appeared to be her brother and on Facebook. And so he sent him a note saying, congratulations to your family. Great. I think, you know, you looks like you are her brother. And I just wanted to say congratulations. He got the nastiest, most terrifying response back because her brother had identified that he was gay. And it was just horrific, horrifying. And you have to read the article for more. But anyway, that's a story about some homophobia that is in the family of the most beautiful woman in the world. So that is that on that blog. Also, if you are reading Gay Star News, LGBTQ Nation, or the Huffington Post, on each of those, I have a story that, speaking of penises, is about Donald Trump worrying about us knowing about how big his is.
And I always think that's interesting because where in any conversation anywhere is that applicable?
Oh, it was shocking to me that they went there, you know, that the politicians went there. And by the way, I should mention that that article was heard first anywhere in the world on our very show. Because I read it here before I published it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, well, and the big news we talked about a little bit before.
Yeah. Which big news do you want to talk about?
Well, Sweat and Testify.
Oh yeah, Sweat and Testify. So, okay. So, I may have shared that we kind of leaked Sweat and Testify the remix that's now available. It's available as of this week on iTunes. We released the single on SoundCloud, which I've never done before. I've got SoundCloud stuff up there, but you know, I've never done a release. And within the first week, it had done like 302,000 streams or something like that. And I guess streams are the new way to go. And I just about flipped over for that. And so then we released it not even a week ago over on Spotify. And I checked it this morning. It was like at 45,000 streams on Spotify. So it's going crazy there. And then I got a notification today from Number One Music. This is, you know, because all of these different – there's different charts around the country for, you know, different styles of music and that type of stuff. And Number One Music is one. Hottest New Artist is another. And Number One Music sends me an email and I say, congratulations, Sweat and Testify is the number three hip-hop song in the United States. And
oh
it's number
God.
Four overall on the charts, on our charts this week. And I just went, you've got to be kidding me. And I said, thank you very much, number one. But it was a bit of a, wow, that is just crazy. Because I just think that, you know, as much as I love the song, because I love that song so much, you don't even know. you know,
I do.
I know, because that's all I do. It's like, Sweat and Testify. I'm so thrilled that, number one, it has done so well on Hottest New Artist, because it was number one for 8 weeks in a row on that chart. It may be displacing Gay Wedding, my other song, which is currently number one on their charts. It may be displacing that song in a couple more weeks. We'll find out. But the remix has just gone crazy on SoundCloud. It's going crazy on Spotify. And then Number One Music is saying, you know, you're number three on hip hop, and you're number four across the board on the United States for your song. And by the way, the people at Number One Music, they're listening to the album version, which I love, the one that's doing so well over on SoundCloud and Spotify. That's the remix. And if you're going, well, what does it sound like? Maybe I'll go buy it. Please do me a favor. Spend the 99 cents. Pop me a new pair of shoes.
I just did. I just downloaded mine on iTunes. I'm thrilled. I'm going to play it to death.
Yes. So you can hear a little sneak preview. You can actually hear the whole thing on Spotify. If you listen to it on Spotify, please add it to your playlist. Please, please, please. If you're listening to it on SoundCloud, please add it to your playlist. Please share it with everybody else. But then please go to iTunes and spend the 99 cents and buy the song. I know that sounds really silly. Why is he begging and pleading for a 99-cent sale? Because every single one makes a difference. And, you know, this is part of the big, you know, the overall plan of trying to expand the empire. You know, Sweat and Testify, I thought was going to do well. I'm shocked, and I'm so grateful that it's doing what it's doing currently. But that's just kind of where we're at with that. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
No, you have to do it. Have to do it. It's good.
Super, super fun. So, Rob, you've got this this fun show that you do on Saturday nights. What's happening this Saturday night on your fun show?
On Out in Santa Cruz. Actually, it's the more serious show. This is kind of the more fun show. But Out in Santa Cruz, we have Kevin Hogan of Healing Stigma. I was on his show with our friend Scott on Left of Straight, and they did a fantastic interview. It was really, really good with them. It was very insightful. But he comes on to my show on Out in Santa Cruz, and we will talk about his story, which is fascinating. He was ambushed by Fox News, shamed publicly, and he tells a story of how he recovered and healed his own stigma and is now looking to heal the stigma of other people.
That'll be a great show. And tell people where they can find it and what time.
That is, you can stream it from anywhere on outinsantacruz.com. It is 7 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday night. And then you can also go ahead and listen to it live, but should you miss it, recordings are on KSCO.com after the show is done. And you can also stream it live off KSCO.com, should you forget, outinsantacruz.com.
So it's accessible. People can find it. Outinsantacruz.com. I love it. And anytime I'm home on Saturday, you know I tune in, so I always ping Rob going, I like this guest. Maybe we should try to get them for our show. Or, oh, that was a great question, or whatever is going on. So if I'm home on Saturday, I always try to catch it because Rob and Steph do just a tremendous job. And I don't need to say that because Rob's my co-host here and I'm trying to butter him up. I don't need to. After listening to Rob and Steph's show, I said, I hope I could get Rob to do a show with me at some point and even be a guest. And that's how this whole thing started for Rated LGBT Radio. So I'm very honored that Rob does the show with me every week, but he does such an outstanding job with Steph on the outinsantacruz.com, and hopefully you'll get a chance to tune in. So now, with a minute left in the show, tomorrow night on the Friday Night Dance Party, Eric EQ Young, everybody, you know, he's one of those young kids. I feel like I'm, Ed Sullivan or something like that. And now for the really big shoe. But Eric EQ Young is going to be my musical guest tomorrow night in hour one. And then on Saturday morning, we've got Super Gay Radio with Paul en Masse starting at 8 a.m. I've lost my mind. We're going to be doing the show live at 8 o'clock with Paul en Masse for an hour of uncensored radio. I will tell everybody, this just got fixed today. Apparently it's been not working for a while. But if you want to get any of the old episodes, because, you know, you like to have it on your iTunes as a podcast, Rated G Radio, that's the kind of like the flagship of everything that we're doing here, is back on iTunes under Rated G Radio. You can go find that and download all 800-plus episodes over the last 4 years that we've done and take them with you on the road. And I always, you know, tell you, just like the song, share it, tell people to get it. And, of course, we want to have you back next Thursday. Next Thursday, by the way, Rob, we're welcoming back for, I think, a broader scope of conversation with Mr. Terrence Moss. He's been on the show before, but we were really asking him to talk about Child of the 70s Season 4 that he was getting ready to release and do all of that fun stuff. But Terrence is going to come on and talk globally about some of the other projects that he's been working on, and he is a character. So I can't wait to have Terrence back on. Rob, you have enough time to say goodbye, so make it like quick in 5 seconds.
Goodbye.
Well, that was really quick. Okay, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. Follow the show. You'll get an email or text update with updates 6 days a week. We are live to bring you entertaining programming, and it's my pleasure to be with you. Have a great night, everybody, and thanks for being part of Rated LGBT Radio.